John Tarmeady joins us. He's our regular at about this time on Monday mornings. Always interesting things to talk about with John as the president of the Te Pāti Māori, and also, of course, with his role with Whānau Ora and also with Waipareira. Wonderful get-together out west. Brilliant entertainment. And $700,000 at this stage that's going to help out those in need. As a result of the generosity of Spirit of Artists and Whakaata Māori and the Whānau Ora Commissioning Agency. John, thanks for joining us today. Tēnā koe. I was coming out, but then I thought, well, I was enjoying it too much on the TV. I probably should have come out and laid around on the grass, but plenty of people did, John. Congratulations, first up, because it was put together hurriedly and, you know, to raise over $500,000. It's a big effort.
Yeah, look, I think the takeaway isn't just about our people have come of age. You know, it just says we've come of age. We've put over 20 of the best artists that New Zealand or Aotearoa has got, and they're all Māori. And when you look at that capability and capacity just from those creators in that creative sector, you know, the musos, and I'm talking from front to back, so whether it was from security and Māori wardens all the way through traffic control, all the way to the back where administration has to work, systems have to work, technos have to work, all Māori. It was when you see that, you know that we've come of age. And as a consequence, it's just more evidence, compelling evidence of, hey, we want our own resources. We can self-manage now. We don't need legions of non-Māori standing over us, spending our money, telling us what to do and when to do it and how to do it and all that sort of stuff. So it wasn't just about, for me, it wasn't just about the ability to give and support communities that are in difficulty. It was a total expression of how 15 or 20 years ago we could never have arranged that or achieved that. And so we're well up. We're well out there, you with me?
Well, I just want to pay tribute to those who put their names forward. I was amazed when Ngātapa said nobody's getting paid. They just donated their time, and it was a wonderful reflection of our manaakitanga towards those in need. Congratulations. A couple of things. This Posy Parker, or Nosy Parker, call her what you will, she's gone. Some say that we've got to support the right to free speech. Let women speak. She was having to go at trans people, I suspect. Really didn't get a chance to flesh out her thinking because parts of our community got well up in arms, justifiably so. What do you make of this free speech? Julian Batchelor's co-governance tour. Some say it's more akin to hate speech than free speech.
Look, with Posy Parker, you didn't need to hear her to know it. Her vitriol, her mannerism, the way in which she expresses it, is just a new form of hatred against the LGBT communities. Now, in the communities, blue-collar communities that you and I were brought up in, we were educated to be a Posy Parker, and it was wrong. And the day that you continue to allow what's palpably and knowingly wrong to occur in your communities is not right. Now, if Posy Parker was talking about an affirmation of who she is as opposed to attacking others, well, I reckon that's probably where you draw the line on freedom of speech, right? Where speech comes out and is about licensing the hate again against that community, well, then you're crossing lines, I think, that are unacceptable in our communities. I don't like to be a moral judge, okay? But where morality tips into illegality, where people have been bashed and have been killed for being LGBT, and it's not just not trannies. You with me? You can have a go at the whole game. So that's my take on Posy Parker, but it's a personal view. Others might believe that she had a right to freedom of speech and for us to draw our own conclusions after that or otherwise. Right, you with me? And that's where the line is, and that's why Hipkins burnt the hate speech bill.
I'd like to touch on the Luxon push for back to basics. I spoke with them earlier in the program. I said, it sounds like somebody middle-aged who's come up with this. You know, back in the good old days, we used to read, we used to write. Well, a lot of our kids don't see the relevance of the understanding algebra or the theorem of Pythagoras or the like. They just want to know how to count their dosh. Most are pretty good at reading the instructions for the video games that dominate their world. So I just want some thoughts about Māori and Pacifica kids. They might not be reading, writing, and arithmeticing as well as they might have in generations past, but I tell you what, they are AIing and coding and digital connectivity-ing as part of their everyday lives. Do you think that the harking back to basics is the right move for our Māori and Pacifica kids going forward, John?
Well, it's the right move for a white middle-class vote that's over the age of 50 to 55 going north and believe that the three R's are exactly how it should be. And it is a plea to the old days and to the nostalgia of the old days, whereas today, what my mokopunas are doing on their devices is incredible. Here's the thing. When do they have to learn? When is arithmetic or mathematics now not able to be sorted out by one of the search engines that are available, many search engines? You've now got AI-type apps, and numerous, that you can pump in an answer, and out comes a question. Now, whether that's a good thing or not is a bit of a silly debate, because it is out there. And you think our kids aren't going to look for AI and all these things are about making human. Anything that can make a human lazier will sell, right? And so, and anyone that can design something that makes life easier is on a winner. And so to suggest that we have to all go back to the 3 hours of reading, writing, arithmetic is just a bold plea to those that want nostalgia and the way it was, rather than the way it is. And so it's cheap whistleblowing politics that works. And he's on a bit of a winner there in terms of hunting a cohort of voter that all think like him.
Right, quick responses here, John. The dental issues for our people has resurfaced. Surely, this, and you work in the health space, this must be prioritised, surely.
Here's the problem, right? A number of our communities live in areas where water is not fluoridated. Whether you like fluoridation or not, right? There's enough evidence for me to say, well, that definitely, in fluoridation of water, definitely supports oral health. Does it have other knock-ons? Well, virtually everything you put in your mouth does. So parking the non-fluoridation argument up, which I think is on a hiding to nowhere, that's one issue that we've got deeply in our communities. The second one is that impoverished people have poor diets. And so you suffer another whammy, right? And then the next issue is the ability for you to turn up to dental support, and like all health interventions, do we get a fair go when we do turn up? Answer, no. So when you're ticking all our boxes, we get no, 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 and no. So the out of Whānau Waipareira, we have an emergency facility, but it's only up to 450K where anyone with an oral issue goes in. Here's our problem. When we turn up, so dire is our oral health situation, but that there's only one, and the cheapest and only way to fix it, okay, is to give you antibiotics to allow all the swelling to go down, then rip the tooth out. There's no such thing as saving teeth for aesthetic or for health reasons in Māori communities. And we tragically get put to the bottom and get the worst and most vigorous and vicious form of dental health care in this country. And it's another beacon of injustice about how we're treated in our own whenuas.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd love to see your organisation challenge this one, John. And you know, you're the sort of guy who'd say, okay, well, we're just going to provide dental care for our people. You know, they talk about it being cosmetic, but you know, if it affects your self confidence, it affects your ability to go and apply for a job. It affects your ability to stand your ground and negotiate on behalf of your whānau. It has, and of course, the obvious health challenges as a result of not masticating your kai well, and then, you know, you end up lumping it down into your puku, next thing you've got coronary issues. So it's a very serious issue, and no one else has taken the bull by the horns, but I know that's your style, and maybe in the near future we might see a challenge in that regard. Thanks, John. Thanks for joining us. There's 100 things that I could talk with you about, but I better save some up for later. Rauri ora kia koe. John Tamiru with us on Monday morning.